بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم Through the fadl and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have been granted this great honor of attending this auspicious occasion, being part of the final lesson which will be imparted by our most respected Hazrat Dam Barakatuhu in the completion of the most authentic book after Kitabullah, Sahih al-Bukhari. It is a moment of great happiness to see that our attendance here is solely on the basis of our attachment to our deen and the ahadith of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our attachment to the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We may think that this is a trivial thing for us, and we may not truly appreciate what this means to have attachment to the ahadith of our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because these days, unfortunately, the ilm of Sharia and ilm of deen has become very cheap, and in our hearts and minds we do not have that value, that awe, that respect, that azma we're supposed to have to the knowledge of the Quran and Hadith. It is a very sad situation to see that we do not realize the greatness of knowledge. We don't have the azma, the greatness of knowledge in our hearts, because we fail to realize that what this knowledge is. Many of us have no time to even think about acquiring knowledge. That's not in our objectives of life, that I need to seek knowledge, I need to understand my deen. That is not part of our life. It's not in any schedule of our life. It's not even at the back of our mind that this is something I need to achieve whilst I'm alive. That I need to seek knowledge. And for some of us, this knowledge has become so cheap that for any matter we will think that we have the authority and ability to understand and impart or legislate a hukam and a ruling of Sharia. We feel that we have the ability and we have the authority to. We have the authority to even challenge the imam or the alim who we go to consult regarding a masala. Because we feel that it is very easy for me to seek this knowledge or take this knowledge from the many sources which are easily available. And we feel that we have the know-how and an understanding of these ahadith and of this knowledge. But today's occasion will present to us that we are very far away from understanding what this ilm really is. Because when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left this world, he left behind the Quran. And when he left it behind this Quran was not in the form that we have today in the book form. It was written on many different parchments. It was written on different items. Some paper, some leather, some bones. But what did he leave behind? When he left this Quran behind, he did not just leave this Quran behind. He left behind a whole ideology and method of living in this world. And this, what he left behind, was not written anywhere. Was not written anywhere by any of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. There was no book in which it was written the code of conduct of life. There was no book which was written that in this matter you need to do this, or this is the manner of running the country, or this is the manner of running your household, or this is the method of how you will conduct between each other when I leave this world. He did not leave this behind in any written form as such. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he is a prophet that has come from his time till the day of judgment. He is a prophet from today till the final time. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he leave behind? He left behind some people. He left behind some people which we remember as the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And who are these people that he left behind? They are those people who he nurtured. And he did their tarbiyah. And they sat in his company and they learned the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such a degree. To learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such a degree that they were termed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam such beings who we can imitate and take as idols and people who we can imitate for our whole life. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Alaykum bi sunnati,
hold fast to my way. And he said, wa khulafa'i rashidin, and hold fast to the way of the khulafa'i rashidin. He said, hold fast to my way. And whose way? My people, my household's way. My itrati, my people, my household, follow their way. Meaning, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he passed on to this deen, passed on this deen to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum in a manner in which their thinking, their walking, their living was what was required by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left behind. And that is why we find in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not the words, alaykum bi hadithi, hold fast to my hadith. We find the word alaykum bi sunnati, hold fast to my sunnah. And the word sunnah means way, at-tariqatul maslukatu fi din, the method and the way which a person should follow in following the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now think for a moment, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is leaving this world and he's leaving behind the Quran, and that is also scattered. And he's leaving Sahaba radiallahu anhu who have understood the deen from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now it is their duty to safeguard his deen, safeguard his deen, and pass it on to the next people in a manner that they also become like the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Not that this is learned words, they become like the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that they live practically the deen. And thereafter, the tabi'een have the obligation of learning the deen from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and passing on this deen in a similar manner to tab'u tabi'in. So this chain that was to be formed by the takween of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was the manifestation of the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he will safeguard his deen till the day of judgment, came in this form, a very unique form which is not found on anywhere on this earth, a very unique form of passing on the knowledge from one person to another person by sitting in the company of that person. And sitting in the company of that person and taking the deen from that person, taking the way of life from that person. This is not something which we can just understand just by reading a few books. It's not something we can just understand by reading a few books. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has commanded us that we should do ita'at of Allah and ita'at of Rasul. This is not something we can just understand by reading a few books. This is something which we have to go and learn practically from someone. That is why we find in the hadith of Jibreel. Hadith of Jibreel, before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this world, an incident happened. A person, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they state that we saw this person and we were quite surprised by the look of this person, because on the apparent he was someone we didn't know of. He was a stranger. So therefore he must have been someone who had travelled from outside of Medina to Munawwara. He must have been someone who came from outside Medina to Munawwara. Yet when we saw his attire, we saw that he's very clean, he's wearing white clothes, his hair is all groomed. There is no dust on his clothes, which represented that he must be a person from Medina to Munawwara. This person, he comes into the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he comes into the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he comes right to the front. فَأَسْنَدَ رُكْبَتَيْهِ إِلَىٰ رُكْبَتَيْهِ. And he puts his two knees to the knees of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he puts his two hands on his knees, according to some interpretations. And according to some interpretations, he puts his hands on the knees of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So obviously such a courageous thing to do in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was something the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu was surprised about, because the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu had immense love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and immense respect for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would not want to say something in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which would displease him, to the extent that if they had a question in mind, they would feel that they would try to find someone else to ask that question. Or sometimes, they would hope that someone comes from the villages. So that, because of his less civilized attitude, he may say something or question something and we will gain some knowledge. But this person who came, he came directly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he sat so close, and he then asked a few questions. I'm not going to go into this hadith, but the purpose of me mentioning is that from this hadith we understand that this was Jibreel. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Umar, "Do you know who this person was?" He said, "No." He said, "This was Jibreel." And he said, "Atakum yu'allimukum deenakum." He came to teach you your deen. And in this hadith, we find certain questions which summarize the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the whole summary of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when he came to teach the deen, he didn't come to just teach the summary of the deen. He came to teach a very important lesson to us, which is very pertinent for us in this day and age. And which is that the manner he came into the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the adab and the respect and the closeness he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this teaches us that in order to understand the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to gain the deen and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowledge of Sharia, we can only do that by going close to the people of knowledge, by sitting physically in the company of the people of knowledge. We cannot gain knowledge just like that. And that is why we find in history, the amount of effort the people of seekers of knowledge done, the amount of effort they went through. And this is not a topic which we haven't heard often. We have heard time and again this topic. The amount of effort people have done to seek this knowledge. The Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, the Tabi'in, the Taba Tabi'in, until today. This completion of Bukhari is a chain in that link of students going out and making an effort to seek the knowledge. In that respect, we should maybe contemplate and just see a glimpse of one or two incidents to understand the effort people gave in order to seek knowledge. The amount of effort people gave. Abdul Rahman ibn Hatim rahimullah, he mentions that I stayed 7 months in Misr. Why did I stay 7 months in Misr? To seek knowledge. So 7 months I stayed in Misr to seek knowledge. And he says that due to poverty, we would have no curry, no soup even. We would eat basic few bread here and there. And our schedule, sometimes our students, when they have an extra lesson, they think, oh, we prayed a lot today. Abdul Rahman ibn Hatim, rahimullah, he says that our lesson was from morning till evening, one after the other. We'll go to this sheikh, and then we'll go to another sheikh, and we'll go to another sheikh. And we would have hardly any time to make any food for ourselves. We would have no time. He mentions an incident. He mentions an incident. Now one day, we went to one teacher, and we were told that our teacher is ill today. Our teacher is ill today. So obviously there is no lesson. So he says that we thought that we should do something. We have a spare lesson today. So we found a fish. We found a fish. So we thought, let's take this fish and cook this fish today. So he says that we took this fish home, and by the time we got home and we prepared the fish to cook it, it was time for the next lesson. So we left the fish. He says that we didn't have a chance to come home and address the fish for 3 days. Because we were busy in seeking the knowledge. He said, when we go home after 3 days, we can understand what the state of that fish would have been. And the foul smell. The only reason we couldn't address that, we didn't even have time to give that fish to someone to cook it for us. This is the kind of effort people have undergone to bring this day for us today. This is the kind of effort people have undergone. We have heard this incident of Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi, from our respected Hazrat Darman Barakatuh, many times, that in attending the majlis of his Shaykh Hazrat Imam Munifa rahmatullahi alayhi, he was so focused that Hazrat Imam Shuja rahmatullahi alayhi says that Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi says that I let my child be buried, but I did not let go of my dars and my lesson with my teacher Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. Imagine, put ourselves in that situation where our child has passed away, and we are told that your child has passed away, come for the burial. But we say, the person says that if I go, I will miss this lesson. If it wasn't for these kind of sacrifices, we wouldn't be able to sit here and join this gathering of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi's book being completed today. Hazrat Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi, Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Shaybani rahmatullahi alayhi, who was a student of Hazrat Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, he was such a great scholar. He came in the latter part of the life of Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi's life. The ulama mentioned, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi has mentioned, that he was so sharp. He was so sharp that the sharpness of his mind could be said that it was so sharp that it could make a hole in a diamond. They have said that he was so sharp. But despite his intellectual ability, despite his intelligence, how was his attitude with regards to seeking knowledge? His granddaughter or grandson mentions that I asked my mother that how was my grandfather? You know, what was his condition? How did he used to be in the house? She says that, you know, your grandfather, he would sit, and he had books around him everywhere. He had books around him everywhere, and it would be total silence. He would sit and read the books, write his books, or contemplate on his books. And if anyone was to say anything, he would just say, He would indicate something or say, go and build yourself. And he says that, he says, Imam Muhammad rahmatullah says about himself, that I told my house people, my householder, look, this is my accountant. Whatever you want, just go to him. Don't come to me. Why? The reason, what was the reason behind this? The reason behind this is that if you come to me, it will put a bit of khalal, disturbance in my focus on knowledge. Because I don't want to get disturbed in my focus on knowledge, I give my whole financial matters to my representative, my accountant, you deal with him. And why did Imam Muhammad rahmatullah do this? He done this because he felt that it was his obligation and his, he was obliged that he should seek this knowledge in the manner that it has come to him from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and pass this hadith and this knowledge down to the next generation. And that is why we find that someone asked Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi that you hardly sleep, you should take a rest now and then. So what does he say? That people say that when I have an issue, then I will go to Imam Muhammad. If I have a question, I will go to Imam Muhammad. If Imam Muhammad, if I go to sleep as well, then who's going to answer the question? Who's going to answer the question? They had value for this knowledge, what they had attained. They had value for this knowledge in striving to attain it. And they realized their worth and the duty that has come on their heads by seeking this knowledge and what they had to do for this knowledge. We can discuss at length the feats of these great people. We are studying the last lesson, we are going to study the last lesson of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah's book. Just Imam Bukhari rahmatullah, how many teachers did he have? 1,082 teachers approximately. Over 1,000 teachers. What does that mean to have 1,000 teachers? Me and you, I and you just think today, that how many teachers do we have? Go back and think about your maktab days, and from there, count the teachers that you have until today. How much will you have? You'll have a few. Over 1,000 teachers. Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri rahmatullahi, he mentions, Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri rahmatullahi, he is one of the pioneers in the tadween of hadith. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, when he left this world, the ahadith were not written down. And it was not that they were not written down completely. It was that they were not formally written down. There was no institution or a effort to bring this ahadith together in a formal manner. Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi, Allah ta'ala inspired him that he should take up this task of formalizing the writing of the hadith. So in his time, he wrote to his whole kingdom, all the ulama of that time, that they should gather the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and write them down. So Ibn Shihab Zuhri rahmatullahi, what did he say? He goes, we have received a notice from the Amir al-Mu'mineen that we should write the ahadith down. So let's start writing. And he says that Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri rahmatullah alayhi, he was the one, he's the actual person who we can say is the founder in doing the tadween of hadith. Because the amount of ahadith he wrote down, no one else wrote down. Amount of ahadith he wrote down, no one else wrote down. So Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, what did he say about himself? Why was he able to achieve this? He says, for 45 years, I was going through and back and forth from Sham and Hijaz, acquiring the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Back and forth, for 45 years, I spent in acquiring the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should understand from this, the azma and the greatness of this knowledge. As the masters, we should understand the greatness of this knowledge, and not make it cheap for ourselves, that we can, from wherever we get a statement or a hadith or someone's statement, we think that we can understand the deen from it. and the students of knowledge and the people who so-called have been blessed with seeking knowledge, they should not suffice on what little they have. They should progress and make effort in safeguarding this knowledge, imparting this knowledge, and serving the ummah to gain the correct sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, which the Prophet ﷺ left behind in practical form, in the manner, in the practical form, in terms of ideology and understanding, which he left to the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum. We need to become part of this change. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to practice what has been mentioned.